St. Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 6, beginning at the 19th verse. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which now you are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Over the decades during which I've preached on the Feast of Saints, I've got used to recounting aspects of the life of a particular holy woman or man from the Middle Ages. I'm also accompanied to speaking of people whose lives were lost in the specific persecution of Christians somewhere or other, and I've enjoyed speaking of what we know of the earliest disciples whose name also appear in the calendars: St. Paul, St. Justin Martyr, St. Athanasius. What I'm not used to being invited to do is to say a word in reflection on the feast day of a newly canonized saint, and, in the case of the saint whose memory we mark today, it's someone I met a few times. Someone whom I remember not only for his teaching, for the ministry of his lengthy spell as Bishop of Rome, or for the political impact he had at a turbulent time in Eastern Europe. No, I remember also what he said to me and how I reacted. What is it then, apart from deeply personal memories of those encounters, what is it that has us all celebrate St. John Paul II and speak of him? What can it be that his life and legacy have enabled us to learn, or invited us to study and use as nourishment for our own pilgrim path as disciples of Jesus? Let's see. Firstly, the fact that Karol Wojtyła was elected Bishop of Rome in 1978 meant that those electors saw in this Polish man, then Archbishop of Kraków, one who could now bring his gifts to the task of renewal in the church worldwide, and also use the courage for which he was known in those communist times in Eastern Europe to speak out against tyranny, against injustice, and against the oppression and persecution of people all over the world, whether this persecution have a religious, ethnic, or tribal background. In my own country, Ireland, which John Paul visited during his first year as Pope — he was on his way to the United States of America that autumn — John Paul called on those who had been involved in violence in Northern Ireland, in the brutal abduction and murder of people, on people who had been responsible for the blowing of lives away in Britain as well as Ireland, who had tragically believed that the colour of a flag flying above buildings of your capital city was more important than the life of each human being. He called on them all to turn away from the mindless error and initiate conversations of peace, initiate conversions of heart, so that the human being of whatever tribe or language or religious background might be respected and valued for her or his humanity, for we are all fruit of the one, the same divine mind and heart, the creative God who lies behind it all and leads it all forward. Endlessly, the Lord leads us forward, for the divine love is endless and without borders or exceptions. John Paul II was one of those who called on the men and women of violence to remember that the wages of sin were death, but the free gift of God was eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John Paul had been living in a repressive communist society most of his life, and the impact of that meant, I believe, that he was far less open to what many would call left-wing movements of reform in parts of the world where the poor were and still are downtrodden, and where there is little hope for young girls and boys born into a deprived family or society, little hope, if any, of exiting a cycle of enslavement and, yes, frankly, a cycle of hopelessness. Someone said to me that if John Paul II had also been able to appreciate the world and encourage that world and encourage and support those who sought to change that world, then he would have been a saint. Thing is, he is a saint, because a saint is not one who has been perfect in all ways. Holy women and men have on occasion pointed out that a saint is a sinner who knows it, one who is conscious of weakness and limitation, yet trusts in the Lord to provide strength and new vision to see further and help in a way beyond their wildest youthful dreams. As Bishop of Rome, John Paul II was shot in St. Peter's Square and admirably and movingly went to the prison later where his assailant was being held. Images like that of these two men sitting and chatting, images like this are somehow icons of holiness. Holiness in this world that leads, please God, to an everlasting reconciliation and new life. I could say more, and what I've said is surely inadequate. But John Paul was always keen to send people out to live Christian lives and share the value of belief. He knew from his faith in Christ as Saviour that what our world offers is not adequate for a truly healthy, honest and honourable life. As he said in Ireland that autumn of 1979, something else is needed, something you will find only in Christ. That's my hope for you as you listen to these halting words. Go and announce the gospel of Christ.